Yes, good morning. Greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark. This is the 24th, and we're going through a little study on Romans chapter 9. It has, as I said earlier, it's been kind of a confusing chapter for some, and we're going to see probably some of that here this morning. Yesterday we went through and saw some things there. We read through the first 13 verses, I think it was, of chapter 9 and looked at some of these things. But let's pray before we get started. Father, we do thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is not of any private interpretation. Lord, I thank you that you have given it to us, Lord, and we can understand it by your help, by your grace. And we just thank you now. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, yes, there's some things here in this chapter that have been confusing to people and even to myself for a long time until I really looked at this, studied it out, looked up a lot of references in the Old Testament and looked up words and many different things. And we're going to get into some of that right here. Yesterday, as I said, we went through to verse 13. We just read through there, but we didn't actually talk about the whole thing. But as I tried to lay a foundation that this these three chapters, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11 of Romans, is talking about the nation of Israel. It's talking about the Gentiles. It's talking about how the Jews are concerned that the Gentiles are the ones that God is coming for by the looks of it because of all the Gentiles coming to Christ. But the Jews, yes, there were some coming to Christ, but many of them were rejecting Christ. They rejected the Messiah. And if the Jews were God's chosen people, why would they be rejecting and the Gentiles coming to Christ? And so those were some of the questions there, and we're looking at that the last few days. But here in Romans 9, let me see, I think I'll just start in verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Okay, so now this, particularly this verse 13, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and this thing where these two boys, they were twins, they were struggling inside of Rebekah's womb, and God spoke to her and said, as it says here, the elder shall serve the younger. But he also said something else. And I'd like to turn to that back in Genesis chapter 25. It says, two nations are in thy womb. Maybe I should back up a little. 22, Genesis 25:22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, from the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So God tells her that two nations are in your womb, And it's interesting to see here the Esau became the father of the nation of Edom, the Edomites. And Jacob, of course, was the lineage of Christ. He was the nation of Israel, which Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and that's where we get the name. The word Israel was from God changing Jacob's name to Israel, and he was the one that had the 12 sons, and he was the one that where all of these different tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, came from. And so it says here, though, that the elder shall serve the younger. Well, if we search the scriptures high and low, we cannot find a place where Esau served Jacob. Esau was born first. He was a twin, but he was firstborn. And we can't really get into the whole story of Jacob and Esau. I think you probably know some of that, or maybe all of it very well. I don't know. But Jacob deceived his brother. He cheated his brother. He did many things. He wanted the promise. He wanted the birthright. He wanted all these things, and he. But it doesn't show us in the scriptures that Esau ever served Jacob. If anything, it was the other way around, because as Jacob came out from his father-in-law Laban and came back to the promised land there, he came back and Esau was there. If you remember, Jacob had his four wives, and his two concubines, his two wives, and he had children by all four of those women, and he had these different bands of herders and all this cattle and stuff, and he gave Esau all these gifts, and he bowed down to the earth, it says, to Esau. So if anything, Jacob was servant to Esau, not the other way around. So God either missed it, or he was talking about something else. And I believe he was talking about something else, because he said there also that two nations are in your womb. And it wasn't that Esau served Jacob, but the Edomites served the Israelites. And that was very clear. That's very clear through the scriptures that the Edomites were servants to the Israelites. And that's what God was talking here about. He's talking about nations. Yes, he uses the name Jacob and Esau. He chose one above the other. And it's interesting also where it says that he hated. I looked up the word hate this morning. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And it's the word that's used throughout the New Testament basically for hate, for all different kinds of hate. We have in Vine's expository dictionary, it says in one of the ways that the word hate is used is of relative preference for one thing over another, by way of expressing either aversion from or disregard for the claims of one person or thing relative to those of another. It gave some examples like, you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll despise the one, and however it goes there. So this word hate isn't necessarily like a evil type hate. It's just preference one for another, the way this word is used. Sometimes it's used for an animosity, a hateful thing, you know, hating people or something like that in different situations. But it's also used in this other way. Another example was, if I can remember it, where it talks about, no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. And it's not necessarily a word that's always used in a despicable way, you know, I hate that person or something like that. I don't believe that's how God hated Esau. He chose Jacob over Esau. He chose a nation. He chose the nation of Israel over the nation of Edom. And that's what it was saying there. That's what I believe it was saying. It wasn't that he hated Esau in the sense of making him a bad man or anything like that. He chose the Israelites over the Edomites to have the lineage of Christ come through. And that was done, that election. Now, if we look at the word election out in verse 11, if we look at it as individual election that God elects, as the Calvinists say, one person to go to hell and one person to go to heaven, and it's his good pleasure to do so. If we look at it, the word election, always that way, then it will be very confusing to us. But the word election isn't, it's never used that way. It's election or chosen is what the word that God chose. And it's here they were elected, election of a nation. God elected a nation, or he chose a nation over another nation. And it goes on and talks here. We're going to be looking at some of these things in the next couple of days, but it goes on and talks about a few other nations that God separated and chose one above another. And so here, this is what this passage is talking about. We're not going to be able to go any further than this because of time, but let's just read it again here. It says, for this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And the reason why Sarah is going to have a son is because God is lining up, he's choosing a people that the Messiah, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, could come through. Sarah was going to have a son, which would be Isaac. It wasn't through Ishmael, through Sarah's handmaid, but it was this promise was going to come through Isaac. And it says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election, this choosing of a nation, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. The Edomites did serve the Ishmaelites. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And that reference there is in Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, and it's also talking about the nation there. And then verse 14 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. It's not unrighteous for God to choose one nation over another for the Messiah to come through. It's not evil or wicked in any sense of the word that God would choose one nation. He chose Abraham because Abraham believed God, and he said yes to God and left the land of Ur and went to where he didn't even know where he was going. And God chose this man who had faith in him, and he chose his lineage, that there would be from Abraham, there would be a son, Isaac, and he chose him. And that there is no unrighteousness. God, that it isn't unrighteous for God to choose one nation over another, that the Messiah, the Christ, could come through. And it's like, I'll just give an example. If you were a school teacher and you chose some students to sit in the front of the class where maybe there's a better advantage, and you chose some students to sit in the back of the class because somebody has to sit back there, that's a completely different thing, that you maybe give advantage to some in the front and maybe a disadvantage to the others in the back. That's completely different than choosing some to fail and some to pass your class before they even come to class. You just look at a name list and you say, okay, this one I'm going to fail, this one I'm going to fail, this one I'm going to pass, this one I'm going to pass. And those that you pass, you put in the front of the class. Those that you fail, you're going to be putting in the back. That's completely different. That's wicked for a teacher to do that before they even see the student or anything like that. And that's an example like this can never be taken exactly, but this is similar to what this is talking about here. So I hope that helps a little bit for your understanding of Romans 9 and the nature of God. God loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And many other scriptures that we can see. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in this morning and listen, or calling in today. Maybe it's nighttime for you right now, but it's morning for me. And have a good day. God bless you. Thanks for calling.